Allow me to take you on a fun little lark and entertain you with a bit of candy floss in the form of a ridiculous metaphor I made up about categorizing artists in the art world. Now, this is all meant to be a bit of fun, just some whisperings and yucks curling around your ear in a smoky old bar cafe as we hang out after an opening. So, without further ado, you are listening to Pep Talks for Artists, a podcast offering small words of encouragement to all those shuffling along the artist road. I'm your host, Amy Toludo. Over the years, working as an artist, I have observed three levels of living professional artists. And, like a Harry Potter sorting hat, I love filing myself and others into the proper categories. The categories are based loosely on how actors are ranked in Hollywood. So, the first and highest level in the filing system is named Hollywood, aka the movie star. You've got your Robert Downey Jr., your Meryl Streep. Their names alone put butts in the seats and get projects made. People will basically come to anything they star in. In the movie star level of the art world, you'll find your big gun artists. A few examples might be Kara Walker, Kerry James Marshall, Richard Serra, Cindy Sherman, David Hockney, and Jasper Johns, among others. They are in the canon, soon to be firmly ensconced in that hefty tome, Janssen's History of Art. They are having museum retrospectives and shows in major galleries worldwide. You know, they've made it. Hollywooders may not even have a website of their own, or if they do, they definitely don't maintain it. And they might not even have an Instagram. Online, they're just chillin'. So now, let's move down in the strata to the next level in the bean dip. Young Hollywood. These are your stars and starlets. We'll call them YOHO for short. Here, you'll find your Timothy Chalamets, your Gal Gadots, Zendayas, Jennifer and Taylor Lawrences. These are the actors who are successful, known, and rich, but aren't yet full-blown movie stars. They're not quite at the level yet where they could film anything and people would just come to see it because they're in it. Young Hollywood artists have gallery representation in at least one major city like New York City or LA, Berlin, London, etc., but aren't automatically headed for the history books. YOHOs hang out with each other mainly, with a sprinkling of Hollywoods and lower strata folk thrown in. They post occasionally on Instagram, generally resharing a post they themselves are tagged in, or posting images only during a show. Because they have gallery support, they don't have to self-promote as hard to sell us on their work. Young Hollywoods have frequent regular solo shows and might categorize their website by exhibition. So if you see this, you are very likely in YOHO territory. Unlike Hollywoods, they definitely have their own personal website and maintain it. The third and lowest strata in the sedimentary layer is West Hollywood. But Amy, West Hollywood now is kind of fancy. You're right, a comparable modern-day equivalent might be a neighborhood like Silver Lake. But for the sake of this metaphor, let's keep it West Hollywood. I want you to picture the West Hollywood of the 30s and 40s. The Sunset Strip, Lake, seedy apartments baking in the sun, neon nightclubs, Schwab's Pharmacy, Day of the Locust vibes, Dean Martin's Dino's Lodge.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Sands Hotel proudly presents the star of our show, Direct from the bar, Dean Martin.
West Hollywoods, or WeHos for short, are the actors and aspiring actors. Hustle is their middle name. And on this podcast, we respect the hustle. WeHo life is all about flexing that hustle muscle. A West Hollywoodian is posting work on Instagram as they make it, and frequently. They tend to be a bit more open and generous. They don't hold back their work or keep things quiet. Their hose nozzle is set to jet, or at least soak. They might post work in progress, and also might post other people's art, because they know community love is king, and a rising tide raises all boats. You're bobbing along in the primordial soup, and the water's fine. You have mostly WeHo friends, but some YoHos too. And you exhibit in group shows and occasional solo shows, but are not yet represented by a gallery in a major city. There are intermediate categories too, like West Hollywood Rising and Young Hollywood Rising. These are little substrata for those nearing the top of their current level, but not yet ascendant. These layers can be super fluid though, with WeHos and YoHos popping up and falling back over and over again. This layer system exists as part of the traditional way artists strive to leave a legacy to the world. We enter the gallery system, which then attracts collectors, who then donate their collections to museums, who then offer the work to the wider public, allowing the work to impact future generations. But maybe you're thinking, ugh, the chances of becoming Robert Downey Jr. are slim to none for me. What can I do? Or maybe the whole hustling game exhausts you, and you just want to make good work and take a hustlecation once in a while, damn it. Well, never fear. Antiques Roadshow's got you. You can remove that old tin Hollywood or bust sign from the back of your jalopy and rest easy in the knowledge that some scholar on Antiques Roadshow will have studied you in depth and know all about you anyway. This is the secret to everything. That if you've ever shown in an exhibition, you have been recorded in history. Your work and story will live on. And an art appraiser on a TV show 75 years from now will know every detail about your life. Take Fern, for example. Once there was a Pennsylvania Impressionist artist from the early 20th century named Fern Coppedge, who had a unique way of painting long roads that take you far back into a landscape. Her painting, January Sunshine, which you can see on our Instagram page at Pep Talks for Artists, made around 1925, surfaced on the Roadshow in 2007 and was appraised by Alastair Nicol, a man born, raised, and educated in Scotland. Now be honest, have you ever heard of Fern? No, me neither. Did you expect Alastair to have heard of Fern? Hell no. But this art historical scholar from Scotland knew all about Fern. He knew about her group of fellow women painters and their style of painting, how she usually composed her images. He even knew that the subject of her painting, January Sunshine, was a place called Goat Hill, a rural hill somewhere in the wilds of Pennsylvania that no one in Scotland should ever have heard about, but he did. Fern is remembered today and not forgotten. And FYI, her painting was worth a whopping $120,000 to $180,000. Not bad, Fern. If you make stuff, if you show stuff, you'll be fine. You don't have to be sipping champagne in Hollywood to leave a legacy to the world. History teaches us there are several ways to make an art career, and just keeping at it, making and showing it, and showing up is the best insurance of all. Back to the roadshow. Take Edward. Edward Bannister was a Rhode Island artist, person of color, and one of the founders of the Providence Art Club. His muted and subtle Rhode Island seascape from 1885 popped up on the Antiques Roadshow Newport Hour 3 episode. Here's a really poignant story about him. During his life, he was awarded a prize at the 1876 Centennial Exhibition. And as he stepped up to get the prize, they said, "Oh no, we are looking for Edward Bannister," because he was a black artist and they didn't believe a black artist could have won the prize. Rude. Listen to this appraiser from New York City effortlessly fill in all the gaps of his story.
Very good company. He was born in New Brunswick, Canada. And while he was a young boy, he had the luxury of being able to learn and study art. And finally comes to Boston around 1848. And he had a career as a barber for a while in the Boston area. Huh. He had the fortune to marry a wealthy businesswoman from New York. And because of that, he could spend his career painting. And so he was able to set up a studio early on. And I believe they lived in the Boston area till they moved to Providence sometime by 1870. So in your painting, we see a very moody, churning sea with a break of sunlight there in the center, which adds a little bit of drama to it. He was a sailor, and he would sail off the coast of Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts and make sketches. So most likely he would have made sketches for a painting like this on one of his trips.
Had you ever heard of Edward Bannister before this? No? Me neither. But are you now going to Google his paintings because he deserves to influence future generations? Of course. As a last wee pep talk, see what I did there? Added some Scottish flair in honor of Alistair. I'll leave you with this amazing quote from the painter Cary James Marshall from his interview in the film documentary Harry Who and the Chicago Images about staying the course, even if it feels like nobody is watching. P.S. I had to rent this whole movie again to pull this quote, so you're welcome. It's a really good documentary, though. I really recommend you rent it. Cary James Marshall says, quote, "From time to time, the critical interest in the art world seems to focus its attentions more completely on one area or another. But it doesn't in any way erase the activity of what other people are doing, especially when they're doing good work. So it's like, in the end, the good work is the good work. You take an artist like Ed Paschke. He's never not been an important artist in Chicago. It doesn't matter what else was going on. He's never not been important too. And so it's always this and that, rather than one thing or another. I just know good work will out." You've been listening to Pep Talks for Artists. If you'd like to check out our Instagram, please find us at Pep Talks for Artists. We really appreciate you stopping by. And we'll see you next time.
Good night. Thank you.